8 years ago, my husband and I traveled with a group of young clergy to the Holy Land. And my favorite place of all the places we visited was Capernaum. It was this beautiful, lovely seaside town. And it's where Jesus was said to have preached the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. So we got to climb to the spot, and we imagined Jesus speaking down to the crowds, spread all down this hillside. There was a breeze, and I could imagine Jesus being inspiring in this spot. And we sat down at what was a level place along that hillside, and we began to read from Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. But we were all sitting on a level place, looking at one another. And it called to mind what I learned in seminary about the Beatitudes, that there are two sets of Beatitudes in the Gospels. One in Matthew, the one we hear all the time, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then the one in Luke, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God," the one we heard today. And I experienced more of the Lucan Beatitudes, sitting there looking at my friends on a level plane. But when I was looking for images of today's gospel from Luke, it was really hard to find one like this on the front cover of your bulletin. Most of them show Jesus talking down from the mountain. But today's scripture is Jesus preaching on the plain. And it actually says Jesus looked up. If you look at the, I had never noticed this before because I don't read it very often. We only have heard this gospel read in worship once in my lifetime before now, because of where Lent falls and usually cuts this lesson out. So I was probably 5 years old the last time this gospel was read in worship. And I probably was in Sunday school. So looking, we're not used to Jesus looking up and speaking up and drawing people down. We're used to Jesus speaking from above and talking down to the people and summoning them up the mountain. So where is the good news in Jesus saying, "Blessed are the poor," rather than "Blessed are the poor in spirit"? I think it's easier for our privileged ears to hear, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? And we are not often the ones who are hungry. So where's the good news? We who are more accustomed to being full than to being hungry, we love to laugh. And it says, "Woe to you who laugh, for you will weep." And we know how to glean the favor and the good word of others, right? It feels good to be liked. "Woe to you," Jesus says in the Sermon on the Plain. We hear not only today the blessings, but the woes. And it's shocking. It's shocking to us, and Jesus, I believe, meant it to shock the people to whom he was preaching, because he was upturning what we customarily value and what we hold as normative. So I think it's important for us to explore, what does Jesus actually mean when he says, "You are blessed," or when he proclaims, "Woe to you"? Let's start with woe, because I think we can relate more to the woes today. Why are all these things that we've worked so hard to achieve indicted with Jesus' woe? Well, the word for woe in the Greek is oie, and it's similar to the word in Hebrew, where we find either hoi or oi. It's an exclamation, oi. Hoi translates, "Hey you, listen up. Listen up, you who are rich and full and laughing." And then there's oi, oive. We know oive. Oi is a warning. it's a word of warning. It's a call to change, to be transformed. Oi! Look out! You who are rich and full and laughing. It's actually a trap. You're ensnared by something that's not ultimately going to satisfy you. Nor is this in itself going to bring about the kingdom of God. This may feel really good to be rich and full and laughing and have people speak well of you, but these are actually false values. We hear echoes of the prophet Jeremiah. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. The scriptures this morning, as I said, are about returning to the source of real life, God in whom we put our trust, not laughter or wealth or being full. The prophet Jeremiah says, I, the Lord, have put on a curse on those who turn from me and trust in human strength. They will dry up like a bush in salty desert soil where nothing can grow. But I will bless those who trust me. They will be like trees growing beside a stream, trees with roots that reach down to the water and with leaves that are always green. They bear fruit every year and are not worried by a lack of rain. So blessing. What does Jesus mean by blessing? We hear people say, oh, I'm blessed. Or they must be receiving God's blessing. We don't think of those who are poor or hungry or crying or hated as people who are blessed. And when we're crying or when we're hated, I don't think we normally go around saying, I'm blessed. If you get to the root of the Greek word for blessed, it's makaros, blessed, satisfied, unburdened, at peace. When we're rooted in God, when we are anchored by a deep trust in God, that's when we're blessed. And no matter the circumstance, we are satisfied, unburdened, and at peace. When I was doing youth ministry, I had the privilege, enormous privilege, of going on this mission to Tanzania. I took 8 teenagers there, and we were there because of an ongoing mission. I had heard and knew well the story of Cheryl, a member of our church who had means, and she had been on safari years back, touring after the untimely death of her husband. And her life in those months was marked with tears, and she was there working through her grief with her best friend in Africa. And through her tears, she saw all these Maasai people, these tribes people who had no means of receiving an education. And she had this vision. I could use all of what I have, my time, my resources, my connections, my wealth, to bring a school to these children, to bring clean water to the Maasai steppe. And there we were over a decade later. The school had grown from 1 room to 5, and 1 rainwater collection tank to 3 massive rainwater collection tanks. And we were driving in this off-road vehicle, and we saw this little yellow dot on the plane. We bounced along and drew closer and closer, and the dot grew bigger and bigger, and suddenly hundreds of school children in their brightly colored cloths became visible to us, surrounding the school. Children who 10 years prior had no possible way of receiving an education, whose days were marked by walking with their mothers long distances to procure jugs of precious drinking water. And there they were in those bright cloths, jumping up and down, literally, and laughing and singing. And our vehicle approached and they surrounded us, swarmed us, and invited them to join us, jumping up and down and singing. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And there we were on this vast plain, children of God, among children of God, jumping and laughing and singing, all because of this woman who was both rich and who wept. A woman who examined her life and responded in a way that gave life. Jesus proclaimed the Beatitudes we heard this morning, and we may not hear again for another 18 years. So we'll have to read it on our own and in our Bible studies. But he preached it on the plain, the level, flat ground. There was no mountain in these Beatitudes from which he could look down from on high. I imagine it was as level as that plain on which we were swarmed by those Maasai school children. I believe God wants us to laugh. God wants us to be full, but we need to be aware of any kind of elevation above the crowd, away from our brothers and sisters, and that wealth and that laughter and that flattering speech can become empty if it's not connected to the fullness of the reality of God and God's people. So here's our practice this week. Let's examine our lives. Look at the places where you're rich, where you're full, and where you're laughing, where people think well of you. Oi! Hear the warning. Are you putting your trust in God in these places, or in simply feeling satisfied? And then, where are the places where you lack, where you hunger, weep, where people hate you? Where is God in this? How are you still blessed, satisfied, unburdened, and at peace? I have a sheet you can take home with you that is a reminder of the word blessing and what it means in Greek. And the word oi, and I just kept the Hebrew because I think Jesus was speaking in Hebrew. Oi, hoi, oye. And you can take these this week as you examine your life. And remember that woes don't equal judgment. Not here, not in Luke. We're not there yet in Luke. Comes later. Oi is simply a call to wake up, to be aware, to change your life to one that is deeply rooted in God. And remember that blessings are not a direct result of being good or bad. Blessings are about being unburdened and recognizing that you're unburdened. Being satisfied and recognizing it. Being at peace and recognizing it. Blessing happens no matter the circumstances when we trust in and we're connected to God. I believe that Jesus continually calls us to blessings. And Jesus shows up and teaches us how to do it on the plain, in our midst, looking up to us instead of down, calling us down to his level among all the people of God. In the name of Jesus, may we each be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.